Right, so the topic for the Yachikawa is that of the mitzvah of tefillin, and as I'm sure we are aware by now, probably aware beforehand, that the mitzvah of tefillin appears in the Torah four times, twice in Parshas Boy, once in Parshas Voeschanan, and then later again in Parshas Ekev and the two Parshias of Shema. And these are the four Parshias that we have in the Tefillin Shel Yad and the Tefillin Shel Rosh. And the Tefillin Shel Rosh, the four Parshias are written on separate, four separate pieces of parchment inserted into each one of the four separate batim, the parasha of Kadosh Lichol Bechor, Vayek V'yecha, Vahavtem Vayim Shemaya, and in the Tefillin Shel Yad, the same four parashas appear, but there it's all wrapped up on one piece of parchment, on one cloth, and rolled up into the Shel Yad. I'm sure you discussed already the opinion of Rashi and Rabbeinu Tam and other Rishayim about what the order of the parashas is supposed to be. However, in the context of the mitzvah of Tefillin, in Parshas Bo, the Torah states, "V'hayugah oisal yarcha uzikarim b'neinecha v'mantiyah Torah Hashem b'ficha." That the tefillin is supposed to be a sign on your arm and a reminder between your eyes. And the following pasuk states, "In order so that the words of Torah should always be in your mouth, v'shamarta zchukah zayis l'moyada miyamim yamima," and you should keep this statute in its proper time from year to year. So the Gemara in Masechtas Menachos quotes a brayso that comments on that pasuk, "Disani v'shamarta zchukah hazayis l'moyada miyamim yamima," that you should keep this statute in its proper time from year to year, yamim v'loy leilois, that is only referring to the day and not the night. And this is the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, that the mitzvah of tefillin does not apply during the night; it only applies during the day. Then he goes on to explain another drasha from those words, miyamim yamima, miyamim v'lo kol yamim. Some days and not other days, Prato Shabbos is Yom Tovim, to teach us that the mitzvah of tefillin does not apply on Shabbos and Yontif, only on regular days of the week. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yossi Aglili. Number one, that tefillin does not apply at night, there's no mitzvah of tefillin at night, and that it does not apply on Shabbos and Yom Tovim. Rabbi Kiva disagrees with Rabbi Yossi Aglili in both drashas from this pasuk, not practically on one, and only in terms of where you derive it on the other. So Rabbi Kiva says this entire pasuk is not discussing the mitzvah of tefillin. In fact, the mitzvah of tefillin of Parshas Boy is really, seems to be out of context. It needs to be explained why it's there, because it really appears in the context of the mitzvah of bringing the Karban Pesach, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Vigadatu Abincha Bayom Mahuleimor, and then the Torah seems to digress to the mitzvah of tefillin. So the opinion of Rabbi Kiva is that pasuk, about the mitzvah of tefillin, that's the outlier. And then the Torah picks up right after that with the pasuk of Shamarta Zachuk HaZos Mayadam Yomim Yamima, not referring back to the immediately preceding pasuk of tefillin, but rather referring to the general context, which is the mitzvah of Hakrabas HaPesach and Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, that you should keep that choik, that statute, in its proper time of the year during Chodesh Nisan and from year to year, but not referring to the mitzvah of tefillin at all. So therefore, you can't really derive anything vis-a-vis the mitzvah of tefillin. Not, number one, that the mitzvah of tefillin doesn't apply at night, it only applies during the day. And number two, that you can't limit the mitzvah of tefillin to a way you can't exclude Shabbos Yom Tovim from the mitzvah of tefillin. So the Gemara is, the Braisa says, Rabbi Kiva, this statue is only referring to the Karban Pesach. So where does Rebbe Kiva derive that Shabbos and Yom Tov is excluded from the mitzvah of tefillin? The sign of Rebbe Kiva, "Oimer yochol yaniach adam tefillin b'Shabbos yom tovim tam loimar v'hayu la'osal yarcho titafos b'nei necha." No, it's from that very pasuk that's discussing tefillin itself, where the Torah describes tefillin as a sign, as an ois. So misha tzrichim ois, it only applies in those days that require a sign. Yatsu Shabbos is Yom Tovim Shein Gufan Ois. That Shabbos itself and Yom Tov are also described as ois, because the pasuk in Parashas Kisisa states in connection with Shabbos and Yom Tov, Beini Uvein Bnei Yisrael Oisi Liyolam. Shabbos and Yom Tov itself are an ois, and therefore you don't need a secondary ois of tefillin. And not only do you not need it, is it redundant? Once it's redundant, it becomes offensive. Right, you hire someone to do the exact same job as someone who's already there. That's it's a little bit offensive. So why do we need the tefillin on Shabbos and Yom Tov? We have Shabbos and Yom Tov over here. It would be offensive to Shabbos and Yom Tov to add an additional ice of tefillin. So that's where Rabbi Kiva derives that tefillin does not apply in Shabbos and Yom Tov. But fundamentally, he disagrees with regards to tefillin at night. There, he has no drasha at all to exclude tefillin from at night. And Shabbos and Yom Tov is not from the pasuk l'moyadam yamim yamima. It's from a different reason. That is because tefillin is called an ice, and Shabbos and Yom Tov are called an ice, and therefore would be redundant. And subsequently, as a result of that, would be offensive. Because of this, just parenthetically, we don't want to have two icy ice overlapping. So that's why the minig of the Shach and the Magen Avram appears in the Shach in Yoredei, the Magen Avram and Archaim, is somewhat curious or bothersome. They quote a minig that during a bris milah, a person, or specifically maybe the Baalei Bris, maybe everyone present, should keep their tefillin on for the bris milah. So why? Because their argument is, well, tefillin is called an ois, v'hayla ois ha-yarcha u'zikarn b'neinecha. Bris milah is called an ois in Parshas Lechacha, where the Torah, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Avraham Avinu, u'namaltam es b'sor alastem, v'hayla ois bris b'ni u'v'neichem, that this bris milah you're doing will be a sign of the covenant that exists between us. So bris milah is a sign, is an ois. Tefillin is an ois. So since the two are both considered to be an ois, we should do them, together. Just the opposite, right? Over here, Rabbi Kiva says, no, just the opposite. Since Shabbos and Yom Tov are an ois, we go out of our way to not put on tefillin. You're not supposed to do it. It would be wrong to do it. So why is it that when it comes to bris milah, we go out of our way to keep our tefillin on, because they're both considered to be an ois? That's the minig that the Shach and Magen Avraham quote, and that's the kasha that the Al-Yarab, the Chida, ask on this minig. It seems to run, just the opposite, pumfakert, from the logic of the Gemara over here, Maseches Menachos, within the opinion of Rabbi Kiva. So in fact, they quote from Moshe Leib Sasever, who was with the Talmud, of course, of the Magen of Mizrich, the Talmud of the Baal Shem Tov, that he, Dafka, used to take his tefillin off. And there are some tzaddikim who Dafka took their tefillin off for the bris milah, not following this minig of the Shach and Magen Avraham. And then there are others who defend it. If you want to defend it, you'll have to distinguish between the ois of bris milah, right, and the ois of Shabbos. That the ois of Shabbos is incompatible with the ois of tefillin, whereas the ois of bris milah, complements the ois of tefillin. Or the ois of tefillin complements the ois of bris milah. It doesn't interfere with it. So one will have to distinguish between the different oisiois, not letters, but signs. One, which is more of a constant, the others, which come from time to time. And the ois of bris milah is always there as a constant. Maybe we always have to have two oisiois, the ois of bris milah, the ois of Shabbos and Yom Tov, but not three. You can only have two, but we'll have to make some kind of distinction. There are others who feel they know the entire minig itself is without justification. I think you see somewhat we hesitate a little bit on this minig. Because, let's say, on a Rosh Chodesh, when the Bris Milah will take place after Musaf, when everyone has already taken off their tefillin, so even though even those who would be mocked but keep their tefillin on for Bris Milah, they don't go back and put their tefillin on after Musaf. Or if you have a Milah Shel Bizmana that's taking place in the afternoon, someone just called me this exact Shiloh, was a COVID baby, and they needed to do the Bris in the middle of the day. So he said, should we put on tefillin for the Bris Milah? I said, that's really, by Mincha, to put on tefillin for Bris Milah in the afternoon, that's really taking this minig quite far, and I don't believe that that is the common custom. Why not? So I believe that the answer is because this whole minig itself requires somewhat of an explanation, because you see from the Gemara Menachos just the opposite, that we go out of our way to avoid a conflict between two oisiyos, not to try and bridge the two together. So whatever the justification for the minig is.
Stein, yeah. In Eretz Yisrael, where they do bris milahs a lot, not during davening, I see the Baalei Bris put on the tefillin. Not the guests, but the Baalei Bris put on the tefillin.
Ah. I've never seen a male here wear a tefillin, even when the bris is by shachar.
No, not a male. I'm talking about the father and
the
sandik.
The Baalei Bris. It's the male, yeah. The sandik, and the father. So I think we, in America over here, most people are running out to davening, running after davening, and particularly if they're not getting a kibbutz, they'll take the tefillin off. And I think the assumption is, even those who follow the minig is just for the Baalei Bris. There are those, tzaddikim who are machmer, that everyone who's present should keep their tefillin on. Ki'ilu, we're all participating by being here. But I hear. So you're saying in Eretz Yisrael a little bit more mocked about this. They even do it. They do it by mincha. Okay, that's really taking the minig quite far. I've never seen that that done over here. Okay, but what emerges, of course, is a difference in terms of where we derive that Shabbos, the exclusion for Shabbos and Yom Tov, but also a machleik seen Rabbi Yosi Anglili and Rabbi Akiva, but whether or not one is exempt from tefillin at night. The opinion of Rabbi Yosi Anglili is one is exempt from tefillin at night. Yamim v'loy leilos. In the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, is that pasuk is discussing Karban Pesach, and there is no exclusion for tefillin at night. Tefillin would actually apply both by day and by night. And this is reflected, by the way, in the Gemara Maseches Kiddushin. I didn't give it to you over here on the sheet of my Mekaymus, but when the Gemara is searching for a source for the fact that women are exempt from time-bound mitzvahs, that, at the beginning of that, the second part of the first parak of Kiddushin, where the Gemara discusses who is, women's exemption from time-bound mitzvahs, the Gemara looks for a source for that principle. And the Gemara attempts to derive it from tefillin, because tefillin is connected with all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, because the pasuk says, "Laman tia Torah Hashem beficha," so that all of the Torah should be in your mouth. That's what you're reminded of by the tefillin. So it's connected to all of the mitzvahs of the Torah, and women are exempt from tefillin. Why are they exempt from tefillin? Because it's connected to Talmud Torah. The pasuk says, "Umal tamaisim is beneichem with daber bam." That's immediately after the pasuk "Kukshartem liyos al yadcha with tafas beninecha." So that since tefillin is adjacent to Talmud Torah, then Gemara assumes that tefillin is connected to Talmud Torah. And Talmud Torah, we know women are exempt from, because the pasuk says, "Umal tamaisim is beneichem beneichem v'loy beneisechem." So women are exempt from Talmud Torah. They're exempt, therefore, by extension, from tefillin because it's the adjacent pasuk. And tefillin is connected to all the mitzvahs of the Torah. So the Gemara attempts to derive from here that women are exempt from all mitzvahs aseh shezman grama, the paradigm being tefillin. However, then the Gemara hedges, well, maybe tefillin is not a time-bound mitzvah in the first place. Is tefillin a time-bound mitzvah? Is it not a time-bound mitzvah? There's two opinions in that Gemara and Kiddushin. What are those two opinions? Where do they come from? They come from these two opinions we have over here in this Braisa. According to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, tefillin is a time-bound mitzvah because it only applies during the day, doesn't apply at night. And according to Rabbi Kiva, tefillin is not a time-bound mitzvah at all. It applies both by day and by night. However, the Gemara continues over there in Maseches Menachos that at least according to Yossi Aglili, that one is potter from tefillin at night. Amar Rabbi Lazar, kol meniach tefillin achash ki asacham over basay. At least according to Yossi Aglili, a person who puts on tefillin when you're not obligated to do it is over basay, because the pasuk says vishamarta esachuk azos mayadam yomim imima. You should guard this carefully, and you're violating your proper level of diligence that you're supposed to have with regards to the tefillin. Rabbi Yechman over Balav. No, he violates a law because whenever the Torah says Hishama pen vial, you know, loisasei. Whenever the Torah uses that kind of a language, you should guard it. That implies a loisasei. So if you put on tefillin at a time when you're not supposed to do it at night, when it's exempt, or when you're not supposed to put it on, so then you're in violation of a law. So in that context, this is all within Rabbi Yosef Glulu. But in that context, the Gemara says, "Vamar Rabbi Lazar, v'im shamran muter." But if you want to guard the tefillin, you're allowed to put them on at night. Or you're allowed to wear them at night. I was sitting once with the Rashi, and it got dark, and he put on his tefillin. They asked him, why are you putting on your tefillin? Are you guarding them? He said, yes, he was guarding them. But we saw that that wasn't the case. He wasn't putting them on to guard them, to protect them. He had nowhere else to put them. He was putting them on. The shame, it's his tefillin. So how could he do that? Kasavar halacha vein marin came. He did not pass on Rabbi Yosi Aglili. He felt we should really paskin, or that's the way it sounds, we should really pass on Rabbi Kiva, that you could put on tefillin at night. Just we don't publicize that. So when they asked him, why are you putting on tefillin? He said he was doing it just to protect the tefillin. But indeed, he was doing it really for the mitzvah of tefillin. So Taisus there on that Gemara, if you look at the brackets, the end of Oisal from the Sheet of Mar Mekaymas, Taisus says, the besamach paskina de laila zman tefillin, de kama halach of ein marin kein. Taisus says, we really paskin like Rabbi Kiva, that night is a time of tefillin, not like Rabbi Yossi Aglili, just halacha ve'in marin kein. We don't publicize that. Umidurabbanan hudasa, we'll get back to that. Midurabbanan, we don't do it because we're afraid you're going to fall asleep in the tefillin. We'll get back to that in a second. Okay, but Tosfos paskins, that strictly speaking, tefillin is Laila's month tefillin. We pass them like Rabbi Kiva, and the only reason we don't, the only reason Rav Ashi lied about it is because it's halacha ve'in marin kein. The Rambam disagrees with Taisus and actually has a different girsa in that Gemara. If you look three lines from the bottom of Vayis Aleph, four lines from the bottom of Vayis Aleph, where we have that mice with the Rashi, so the way we have it in the Gemara is that Amar Ravina Avi Asin the Kamei the Rav Ashi v'choshach ve'niach tefillin. It got dark and he put on tefillin. The Rambam's girsa is v'choshach v'loy selek tefillin. It got dark and he didn't take off his tefillin. Not that he put on his tefillin, but he didn't take them off. So according to the Rambam, look over here, Ois Beis on the sheet, Perek Dal, Vilchus Tfilin, Lach Yud, Zman, Hanachas, Tfilin, Beyoy, Veloy, Belaylo. The only time that you put on Tfilin is during the day, not at night. But the Rambam says, if you're wearing them during the day, you don't have to take them off when it comes night. But if you're wearing them during the day, Mishiniyach Tfilin, Kodim, Shetishka, Chama, V'choshka, Lav, then you're allowed to continue to wear them. But even that is Halach of Ein Marin Kein. That's what we don't publicize. That's what Rav Ashi did. What did Rav Ashi do? Rav Ashi didn't put on tefillin at night. No, Rav Ashi really passing like Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Lila's loves man tefillin who don't put on tefillin at night. What he meant to do was, or what he did was, which they asked him about, he kept wearing his tefillin. He wore them all day. He kept wearing them at night. So they said, what are you doing? We don't do that. So he said, he lied. He said, I'm just protecting them. So, but what was he lying about, or what was he protecting? Not, what was his secret? Not that we put on tefillin at night because we really pass on to Bekiva, the Lila's man tefillin. What he was, the secret he was protecting, or the halakha of Ein Marin Kein, is that if you're wearing tefillin during the day, you can continue to wear them at night. but not that you should put them on for the first time at night. No, the Rambam says, of course not. Laila is lav zman tefillinu. We really pass on Rabbi Yossi Aglili. The only thing that's halacha vein marin ken is that if you're wearing them during the day, you can continue to wear them at night. And even that, we should tell people, you know what, don't do that. Take off your tefillin. Even though meikar din, you can indeed leave it on. That's perhaps the base for the Rambam is probably from another Gemara. I'm sorry, I didn't give it to you. Alam Avava Menachas from Maseches Menachas, where the Gemara asks, when is the time for Anachas Tefillin? So the Gemara quotes a few possibilities. The opinion of the Tana Kama is that it's until Shkiyas Hachama. The opinion of Rabbi Yaakov is that it's Ad Shetichla Regel Min Ashuk. We just finished Hanukkah. So there's another instance where you find that that kind of a definition that you have to have the Neiros Hanukkah burning Ad Shetichla Regel Min Ashuk till there's no more traffic in the marketplace. So Sotav here, Rabbi Yaakov feels that the time for Tefillin is Ad Shetichla Regel Min Ashuk. And the opinion of the Chachamim is Ad Zman Shena. Until you go to sleep is the time for Tefillin. But the Gemara says, even according to the Chachamim, that Zman Tefillin is until you go to sleep, Moedim Chacham Rabbi Yaakov, both of them agree, even though they held that it goes even after the sunset, that if that's only if you continue to wear them. If you took them off, then you don't put them back on. So the Shittim Kubetzes and that Gemara asks, I don't understand Mamanavshach. If it's the Zman Tefillin is even at night, so then even if you took it off, you should put it back on until you go to sleep. If it's not, if Lila's loves Zman Tefillin, who? Then you should have taken it off before Shkia Sachama. Why do they say you continue to wear your Tefillin out to Tichla Regel Min Ashuk, or until you go to sleep, until there's no more traffic in the marketplace, you know, after it gets dark, or until you go to sleep? Why? The mitzvah of Tefillin is over. So the Emek Brocha, that's one of the Talmidim of the Briskei Rav, Rabbi Pamaramchik, explains that this must be the source of the opinion of the Rambam. And that is that if even though at night is not Zman Tefillin, who? Lila loves Zman Tefillin, who? That only means that you shouldn't put on Tefillin for the first time. But if you were wearing tefillin during the day, you can indeed continue to wear it into the night. At least that was the opinion of the Chachamim, Rabbi Yaakov. Rabbi Yaakov, until Achatukha Regel Min Ashuk, the Chachamim, even until you went to sleep. But that's not to say that if you took them off, you will put them back on. No, no. Why tefillin is lav zman tefillin hu? What is that with regards to that? You don't put them on for the first time. But if you were wearing them during the day, you can continue to wear it at night. So that's the opinion of the Rambam. Taisvis, though, is of the opinion that Laila is Zman Tefillin Hu, and the only reason you know, we don't publicize that is because halacha of Ein Marin Kein. What is the, and that's the way we pass in action in Shulchan Aruch, and it's in Malam and Sebeis, it says in Shulchan Aruch that we don't put on tefillin at night because it's halacha of Ein Marin Kein. Why is it a halacha of Ein Marin Kein if Laila is Zman Tefillin Hu? Like Taisvis said, why do we not publicize that? So look back at Taisvis. Over here, Isalif, as it says, Midrabanan Huda Aser, because Midrabanan, now we are afraid that if people wear tefillin at night, they're going to come to fall asleep in the tefillin. And if they fall asleep in the tefillin, that would be problematic. Okay, so there was a machlokes rishonim, is Laila Zman Tefillin Hu or not? Taisus felt that it was. The Rambam feels that you can keep wearing your tefillin if you had them on, but you shouldn't put them on for the first time. But even according to Taisvis, that Laila is Zman Tefillin, we don't put on Tefillin, we tell people to take it off, right, according to the Rambam. And according to Taisvis, we don't put it on because Midrabanan, Chayshinan, Shlo Yishan Behem. We're afraid people are going to fall asleep in the Tefillin. What's the problem with falling asleep in the Tefillin? So the Gemara there explains. Look, Lamed Vavim Abayz, back in Ois Aleph, Amar, three lines from the bottom, Amar, Rabba Baravuna, Chay Vadim Omashu, Shet Tefillin B'chol Shah. The person has to constantly be aware of his Tefillin. Kavachomer mitzitz. It's derived as a kavachomer from tzitz. Umat tzitz, that was the head plate that was worn by the Kohen Gadol, that was inscribed, engraved with the words Kodesh Lashem, dedicated, consecrated to Hashem. So umat tzitz sheim bo azkar achas, and there the pasuk says v'hayal mitzchay tamid. It should be on his forehead constantly. That he has to be aware that it's on his forehead constantly. The Gemara says he's not allowed to be mesiach das from the tzitz. So umat tzitz sheim bo ela azkar achas. The tzitz only has one name of Hashem, Kodesh Lashem. The Torah says it should be on his forehead constantly. He's not allowed to divert his attention from it. So tefillin, which has many names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, right? The Shem Havayah appears many times. So certainly one is not supposed to divert his attention from the tefillin. So one has to constantly be aware of the tefillin. That's a high standard to implement. And therefore, they recommended not to put on tefillin at night when a person will come to fall asleep, Shlo Yishan Behem. So the Rishonim ask, why are we afraid, Shlo Yishan Behem? I'm sorry, Taisus over here said, we don't put on tefillin at night because we're afraid you're going to fall asleep in the tefillin. Why do we have to be afraid you're going to fall asleep in the tefillin I'm sorry, yes, because we're afraid you're going to fall asleep in the tefillin, you'll be made siyach das from the tefillin. So the Rishonim, though, ask, but the Gemara says in Masech Lesukah, you are allowed to sleep in your tefillin, at least if it's a Sheinas Arai, not a Sheinas Keva. So look over here, the Rush in Hilchas Tefillin, he's giving a question from the Gemara Masech Lesukah. The Gemara says you're not allowed to sleep temporarily outside of the Sukkah, but you are, the Gemara contrasts that with tefillin, that you're allowed to sleep, you know, a nap with your tefillin on. So Nichna, Shlishan, B'yoyim, Ratzah, Chaylitz, Ratzah, Meiniach. If you want to take a nap during the day, you can either take your tefillin off or you can keep them on. So the rush there is, Ha'ech Sheinas Arai Mutar. How can you even take a nap with your tefillin? Halo Asa Asiyach Daita Mehen. You're not allowed to divert your attention from the tefillin. B'shashem Isnamne Nimsa Sheisiyach Daita Mehen. And when you fall asleep, you're going to have a Hesach Hadas from the tefillin. So how are you allowed to sleep at all? Right, Taisvis was discussing a Sheinas Keva in the tefillin. He were discussing a Sheinas Arai, but how is even a Sheinas Arai permitted with the tefillin? Aren't you going to be Mesiach Das? The only time it's considered to be Hesach Hadas is when there's Kalush Rosh or Schoik, when a person is engaged in levity. That's a Hesach Hadas. Then your attention is diverted from the tefillin. But not if it's a person is engaged in his regular business during the day. If a person is doing his daily activities, he's going to work. It's not considered to be a hesach hadas. So yes, it's true. We derive a kavo chaimer from the tzitz. You're not allowed to be meisiach das from the tefillin. If the tzitz, it says, then only has one name of Hashem. Tefillin, which has so many names of Hashem, certainly you have to constantly be aware of it. You're not allowed to divert your attention from it. But that's only if you divert your attention with schaik v'kalos roish. But if it's not diverted with schaik v'kalos roish, even though you're not actively thinking about it, that's not a violation of of hesach hadas. However, the Ramban in the Teres HaAdam seems to disagree in defining what is considered to be a hesach hadas from the tefillin and that derivation from the tzitz. Because the Ramban in the Teres HaAdam says when a person is giving a hesped, let's say a person is in the Avelos Le'aleinu, so of course we know the first day of Avelos, if it's Deiraisa, or even if it's not Deiraisa, we don't wear tefillin. But all subsequent days of the of Avelos, you would put on tefillin. However, the Ramban says, Aval b'shas habechi, b'shas hesped, eino meniach. When a person is crying, when he's giving hespedim, he just shouldn't put on the tefillin. Why not? Presumably because he's not thinking about the tefillin. He's thinking about his relative who passed away. So it sounds like from this Ramban that the problem with hesach hadas is not because of schoik v'kalos reish, right? The guy is crying, he's giving hespedim. There's no schoik v'kalos reish here. What does hesach hadas mean? Or what is the standard that a person has to have when he's wearing the tefillin? How much does his mind have to be on the tefillin? It's not just that he shouldn't engage in levity and joking around, it's that he really should be constantly thinking about the tefillin. That's the standard that we require in order to be wearing tefillin, is shelo yasiach daita mehen at all, to constantly be thinking about it. Well, if that's the case, how is a person allowed to take a nap when he's wearing tefillin? We're back to the kash of the Rosh, right? The Rosh asked in the name of Rabbeinu Yoina. He answered the name of Rabbeinu Yoina. He said, how is a person allowed to take a nap in tefillin? He's being meisiach das from the tefillin, and the Gemara derives from the tzitz. You always have to have your mind on the tefillin, just like the tzitz, v'hayim mitzvah tamid. So he said, nah, the only time, the Rabbeinu Yonah said, the only time it's a problem is if you're engaged with schoik v'kalos roish. When you're sleeping, there's no schoik v'kalos roish, because that's insulting to the tefillin. That's not proper, it's inappropriate when you're wearing the tefillin. It's not treating the tefillin with the proper kedusha they deserve. However, the Ramban says more than that. Shalot ha-siach da'itami menu doesn't just mean that you shouldn't engage in levity and joking around. It's that you should always be thinking about it. Well, then how can you ever take a nap while you're wearing your tefillin? The Gemara says in Sukkah, Yoshen Adam Sheinas Arai b'tefillin. You're allowed to sleep a nap with tefillin. How could that be? You're not constantly concentrating on the tefillin while you're sleeping. So the Sameach says, we must say for the Ramban that the sleeping is something different. Why should sleeping be something different? Because even according to the Ramban, the only time you're in violation of Hesach Hadas is when a person is actively not thinking about his tefillin, meaning he's doing an activity which demonstrates that I'm focusing on something else and not my tefillin. So that's not appropriate. You're supposed to be thinking about the tefillin while you're wearing them. But it's only if I engage in an activity which demonstrates that I'm not thinking about my tefillin. If I'm sleeping, that's not an activity that demonstrates that I'm not sleeping about my I'm not thinking about my tefillin, and therefore that wouldn't be a violation of Hesach Hadas. What we have over here is two definitions of what is required in terms of the concentration you need to have with regards to your tefillin. You shouldn't be Mesiyah Hadas as we derive from the tzitz. According to Rabbeinu Yoina, you're not supposed to engage in schaik v'kalos roish. According to the Ramban, you have to constantly be concentrating on the tefillin. So then we had a problem with sleep. So according to Rabbeinu Yonah, sleeping isn't a problem. That's not Sleik V'Kalas Rosh. According to the Ramban, it should have been a problem. So we said, no, according to the Ramban, the only time you have to constantly be concentrating on the tefillin is when a person is engaging in activity, when he's doing things that are active. If he's being entirely passive, like he's sleeping, so then even if he's not actively concentrating on it, that wouldn't be a violation of Hesach Hadas. It's only when he's engaged in an activity that demonstrates he's not thinking about the tefillin. I think these two definitions of Hesach Hadas are reflected in two opinions in Tosis and Masechtas Yuma. Because the Gemara says in Masechtas Shabbos over here something else, and this is what Tosis was driving at in Masechtas Menachos. Look, the Gemara says in Masechtas Shabbos over here, I say, Amar Rabbi Yana, tefillin tzrichin gufnaki. And when you're wearing the tefillin, you have to, not allowed to have a bowel movement. You have to have a gufnaki, a clean body. Kalisha bal knafayim. Like Elisha bal knafayim. What's the story of Elisha bal knafayim? The whole world just did Daf Yomi. They are aware of the story of Elisha bal knafayim. Elisha bal knafayim was lived in the times of the after Churban Bayis Sheni, and there were tremendous persecutions of the Romans, and they made Xavier, you're not allowed to wear tefillin. If you do, you'll be put to death. So Elisha bal knafayim was wearing his tefillin, and they found him, and he ran away. So they ran after him while he was wearing his tefillin, and then he saw that they were chasing him, so he took off his tefillin, and he hid them in his hands. They caught up with him, and they said, show us what's in your hands. He said, there's nothing in my hands. He said, show us what's in your hands. So he opened up his hands, and instead of the tefillin appeared the wings of a dove. So that's why he was known as Elisha bal knafayim. That's why when we wind our tefillin, so the minig is to wind on either side of the bias. You don't wind all the ritzuas on one side. We wind it on either side like wings of a dove to remind ourselves of Elisha bal knafayim. So how did Elisha bal knafayim, how does he teach us about a gufnaki? How do we see he had a gufnaki? So Taisa says, well, it must be he had a gufnaki, otherwise he wouldn't have had such a miracle occur on his behalf. Why else would he have such a miracle? It must be he had a gufnaki. That's Taisa's pshat. However, the Margolius Hayam, Rav Reuben Margolius, in his commentary on Masechta Sanhedrin, he quotes it from the Kleisenberger Rebbe, but a different pshat, fantastic. He says, no, when Elisha bal knafayim was wearing his tefillin, it was a shas hashmad. And the halacha is b'shas hashmad, a person is obligated to give up his life rather than even violate any one of the mitzvahs of the Torah, not only one of the gimel averos hachamuras, any of the mitzvahs of the Torah, if they tell us not to do them, and it's a shas hashmad, a time of religious persecution, you have to give up your life rather than forfeit that mitzvah. So how is Elisha bal knafayim able to take his tefillin off in the first place? He should have kept his tefillin on and b'meiser nefesh, kiddush Hashem. How is he able to take his tefillin off? So Kleisenberger Rebbe said, not fantastic. He said he was running away. He got nervous. He got a loose stomach. So then he said, I have to take my tefillin off. No more gufnaki. So then when they caught up to him, he wasn't wearing his tefillin. They were in his hands because he took them off because he was afraid he was getting too nervous. So that was going to affect his stomach. So he took his tefillin off. That's how you see that Elisha bal knafayim teaches us that you have to have a gufnaki when you're wearing your tefillin. That's why b'shas hashmad, he took his tefillin off. He didn't keep them on. Either way, the Gemara says there in Shabbos, not only are you not allowed to be meisiach das from the tefillin, you have to have maintain a gufnaki. What does a gufnaki mean? Ma'hi abayi omar, not only you shouldn't have a bowel movement, shlo yafiach ben. And Rava says, Shlo Yishun Bahem, you shouldn't sleep in them. Shlo Yafiach Bahem means a person shouldn't pass gas. Rava Amar Shlo Yishun Bahem, not only should you not pass gas, you shouldn't even sleep in them. Rashi explains, Shema Yafiach, maybe a person will pass gas while he's sleeping. So Taisus Yishanim and Masechtas Yuma asks, why do I need the fear of Shema Yafiach when a person is sleeping? You now got to sleep in your tefillin. Because the violation of Gufnaki, where's the violation of Gufnaki when you're sleeping in your tefillin? Because Shema Yafiach, maybe a person will pass gas while he's sleeping. So yes, why do I need that? I have a Gemara in Masechtas Menachos. You're not allowed to be Meisiach Das from the tefillin. You have to constantly be concentrating on the tefillin. So why do I need to say you can't sleep in the tefillin because of Gufnaki? I should say you can't sleep in the tefillin because you have to constantly be concentrating on the tefillin. So Taisus has two answers there. They're really one and the same. That Shema Yafiach and Hesach Hadas are exactly the same. Are they though? Shema Yafiach means I'm doing something that's inappropriate to the kedusha of the tefillin. How is that related to Hesach Hadas? Hesach Hadas means I'm not concentrating on the tefillin. Wav Dafka, that's not inappropriate. You know, that it's not appropriate. So I think this opinion of Tosis is reflecting a similar approach to that of Rabbeinu Yonah, that Hesach Hadas requires, you know, you're not allowed to be Meisiach Das in the tefillin. Only means you're not supposed to engage in Sleik V'Kalus Reish, meaning inappropriate activities, levity, joking around, having a good time. That you're not supposed to do with the tefillin on. It's a serious time when you're wearing your tefillin. So that's comparable. That's really coming from the same place as Shlo Yafiach Ben. What it means is the tefillin has an expectation. A person conducts himself a certain way when he's wearing the tefillin. That's what the kedusha of tefillin demands. So when Taisa says that Hesach Hadas and Shema Yafiach are really one and the same, what he means is that Hesach Hadas is only Schaik Vekalus Reich, which is similar in its message to Shalai Yafiach Ben. You're supposed to maintain a certain kind of dignity while you're wearing the tefillin, and there are two reflections of that: that a person shouldn't engage in schaik v'kalas reish, and that he should not be mefiach in the tefillin. But then Tosfos has another answer: Inami Amar Rabbi Chanan, the time of the Hesach Hadas lo shayach el chashuv neir. No, Hesach Hadas only applies while you're awake; it doesn't apply while you're sleeping. So why should you not sleep in the tefillin? We needed another reason of shema yafiach. Maybe he'll pass gas. The reason of Hesach Hadas is not good enough. Hesach Hadas is only when you're awake, not when you're sleeping. So I think this opinion of Tosfos understood Hesach Hadas entirely differently, more like the opinion of the Ramban, that Hesach Hadas demands that we constantly concentrate on the tefillin. If that's the case, how do you have to take a nap in your tefillin? So we have to say, like what the Or Sameach explained within the Ramban, that it's only a problem, even though you have to constantly concentrate on the tefillin while you're wearing them, it's only a violation of Hesach Hadas if a person will engage in an activity that demonstrates that he's not concentrating on the tefillin. But if he's just sleeping, he's entirely passive, so then he's not engaging in an activity that demonstrates that he's not concentrating on the tefillin, he's concentrating on something else, that's not a violation of Hesach Hadas. So then why can't I sleep in the tefillin? Even a Sheinas Keva, why can't I sleep in the tefillin? That's where the Gemara and Masechta Shabbos came up with a different reason, because while you're wearing the tefillin, you have to maintain a guf naki. But according to this answer of Tosfos, according to Rabbi Chanan, Hesach Hadas and Shema Yafiach, you know, sleeping a permanent sleep, and the tefillin are really two separate things. Hesach Hadas demands that a person constantly concentrate on his tefillin. Just when he's sleeping, you know, that's exempt, because you're not allowed to engage in an activity that demonstrates you're not concentrating on the tefillin. But if you're not concentrating on the tefillin, b'shev al pasa, passively while you're sleeping, that's okay. And then it's an entirely separate requirement of tefillin, is that that you have to maintain a gufnaki. And that that is the reason we don't sleep a sheinas keva in the tefillin, is because you're not going to be able to maintain a gufnaki. How do we paskin, though, when it comes to the definition of Hesach Hadas? How do we paskin? What does Hesach Hadas mean with regards to the tefillin? You're not allowed to be Mesiach Hadas while you're wearing the tefillin. That was the Gemara Masechtas Menachos. What does it mean? So we had a machlekes rishayim, and we saw the show that that's really two opinions in Tosfos. What does Hesach Hadas mean? Does Hesach Hadas mean I'm not supposed to engage in inappropriate activities while I'm wearing the tefillin, like Tzchok V'Kalos Reish, or even Mefiach might even be part of that, like Gufnaki might be part of that? Or maybe Hesach Hadas means that I shouldn't, that I constantly have to concentrate on the tefillin, or at least I shouldn't engage in an activity that demonstrates that I'm not concentrating on the tefillin. So I think that it's you get different implications from two different passages in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch says over here, similar to Mechesif Aleph, Zayin Chayle May Ayin Potem Tefillin. When a person, this is according from the Gemara Masechta Schulin, the Rami Bar Tamri didn't wear his tefillin one day because he had a stomach ailment. So if a person has a stomach ailment, right, so his bowel movements might be erratic, you know, he might be mefiach, might pass gas, he should potter from tefillin. And the Mishnah Berurah says he shouldn't try and be machmir on himself, because he'll probably make a mistake, and then, better be safe than sorry. However, the Ramah adds, not only if a person is a chodem eyayim, even if he's mitzar harbe, afil ein otzar, aval shar chayla, if you have a stomach ailment, even if you're not fartracht about it, even if you're not, your attention isn't diverted from it, we're afraid, problem with gufnaki. About shar chayla, let's say a person is sick with something else, im mitzar becheloy, they ain't died to me, yeshev es olav potter. If he is, caught up in his illness and he's not able to concentrate on what's taking place around him that well, he's potter from tefillin. But there, the Mishnah Berurah adds, in the last line of Oish Zayin, imroitz lahachmir alatzmai rashai. If a person would like to try and concentrate, to work on himself, to be mizgaber and to concentrate, so then he's allowed to do it. But what do you see from this Ramah? What is he engaged in? Schoik v'kalus reish? He's sick. He's lying in bed. What it means is he's a little bit incoherent. He's not able to pay attention. He's so caught up in his pain or whatever's going on that he's not able to pay attention to the tefillin. And nonetheless, you see he's potter from tefillin. So what does Hesach Hadas mean? It sounds like the Ramban. That Hesach Hadas doesn't just mean you shouldn't engage in schoik v'kalus reish. What Hesach Hadas means is that a person really should be concentrating on his tefillin while he's wearing them. We're not engaging, at least in an activity that demonstrates that he's not concentrating on his tefillin, like being sick. However, the Shulchan Aruch and Siman Lamazayin Siv Gimel discussing Ketanim, which we'll get back to in a few minutes. So Shulchan Aruch there says that if a Katan is Yodea Lishmar Tefillin, if a Katan knows how to properly guard the Tefillin, so Yishan V'lo She'yafiyach will teach him, don't fall asleep and don't pass gas, then he's allowed to wear his Tefillin. What do you mean? Why don't we tell him, concentrate on the Tefillin while you're wearing it? Don't be Mesiach Das. It sounds like from this passage in the Shulchan Aruch that it's enough if you have a Gufnaki. What does Hesach Hadas mean? Kalos Reish, like for Kalos Reish. Don't engage in levity. Don't engage in having a good time while you're wearing the tefillin. You should be constant, but more than that, it really doesn't demand. So as long as the kavod is there, lishmar tefillin b'tahara, in purity, shoyishim v'shoyafiach, that's good enough. We don't have to ask him to concentrate on it the whole time, and I can't believe the expectation actually was that a kavod would be concentrating on his tefillin the whole time, and nonetheless, he was allowed to wear tefillin. See, it sounds like from here that the Hetzach Hadas doesn't mean that you have to constantly concentrate on it while you're wearing it. It rather means that you shouldn't engage in tzchayk v'kalos reish. Different implications, we'll see. There might be somewhat of a difference. Okay, so we saw that there is two opinions in the Gemara about whether or not Laila is man tefillin, who machlokes between Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who felt that Laila was lav man tefillin, the opinion of Rabbi Kiva, that Laila is man tefillin, machlokes between Taisus and the Rambam had a paskin. But everyone agrees that we don't put on tefillin at night for the first time. Shema yishan shlo yishan bahen. Midrabanan, we're afraid you're going to fall asleep in them. What will be the problem if you fall asleep in your tefillin? So the Gemara explained it was because you won't have a gufnaki shemi yafiach, that a person will be mefiach while he's wearing the tefillin. So we don't put on tefillin at night. We're afraid people are going to fall asleep, and if we'll fall asleep, it will be a problem of gufnaki. It will not be a problem Hezek Hadas, according to anyone, because Hesach Hadas is either only when there's Chayk V'Kalos Reish or when a person is engaged in activity that demonstrates actively he's not thinking about the tefillin. Sleep wouldn't be included in that. It's rather a problem of Shema Yafiach, because he won't be able to maintain a Gufnaki. What about during the day? So then tefillin seems to apply the entire day. And that's the way the Shulchan Aruch says, Simulav Zayin Siv Beis, Mitzvah and Liyos Alav Kol Hayom. You should be wearing the tefillin all the day, the entire day long. Aval, says the Shulchan Aruch, Mipnei Shetzrichim Gufnaki, a person is, it's difficult to be careful about this. You already saw Tosfos, right? Said right at night we have to be careful about this because we're not so careful about gufnaki at night. So even during the day, the Shulchan Aruch says we're going to have a good, hard time keeping a gufnaki. So the minig is not to wear it the entire day. The minig is only to wear it once during the day. So when do we wear them? We wear them during Shacharis at the time of Kriya Shema and Shemona Esrei. So it's one time during the day we're going to fulfill the mitzvah tefillin, because it's even though the mitzvah really applies the whole day long, it's difficult to keep a gufnaki. Why do we pick to wear it dafka during Shacharis? So the Meshech Chachma explains in his commentary in Parshas Lech Lecha that it's because we received the mitzvah tefillin in the course of Avraham Avinu. Pasuk says when the king of Sodom offered Avraham Avinu money in exchange for the fact that he kidnapped Sarah, so Avraham Avinu says in Michut Ba'atzrach. No, it was after the war with the king, with the four kings and five kings, and he saved him. So he offered Avraham Avinu money. He said in Michut Ba'atzrach Nal Mekach Mikol Shelach. He said, I'm not going to take a string or a shoe strap from you. And the Gemara says in Mesechtas Menachos in this course that Avraham Avinu said, I'm not going to take a string or a shoe strap from you. We were zayecha to the strings of tzitzis, and we were zayecha to the ritzuas of tefillin. So the discourse of the tefillin is a little bit in the discourse of the mitzvah of tefillin is a little bit in the discourse of Avraham Avinu. As we know, each one of the avos established one of the three tefillos during the day. Avraham Avinu established shachris. So since the discourse of tefillin is in the merit, the mitzvah of tefillin is in the merit of Avraham Avinu, we dafka choose to wear tefillin during shachris. That's why the Meshech Chachma says we chose shachris. There's another reason, though, why perhaps we chose shachris. Is because the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, and that's why the Rambam implies, that's why we wear our tefillin during Shacharis, because the Gemara says in Masechtas Brachos, kol akorei kriya shema below tefillin, anyone who lanes kriya shema without tefillin, ki iwu meir edu sheker b'yasma. So if a person is testifying falsely, because when he's laying kriya shema, he's going to say, uksharetam, liyosal yedchem, utatavaz ben eneichem, he's going to talk about tefillin. If he's not wearing it, he seems disingenuous. You're talking about tefillin, and here you are not wearing it. That seems wrong. So you should wear your tefillin dafka when a person is learning Kriya Shema. When do we learn Kriya Shema? Not by Mincha, and we can't do it by Maariv because Laila is lav zman tefillin, according to half the Rishonim. So when do we do it? We choose to do it during Shacharis. That's the time when we put on tefillin in order to kind of justify the Kriya Shema that we said. That's the way Rabbeinu Yonah interprets that Gemara, that we have to wear tefillin during Kriya Shema in order to show that we're not disingenuous when we discuss the mitzvah. We put it into practice by actually putting on the tefillin. The Rambam has somewhat of a different take on this Gemara, that it's not so much a kiyum in the Kriya Shema, that we shouldn't be like our Kriya Shema is empty and meaningless and disingenuous. It's rather a kiyum in the tefillin. The Rambam brings this halakha not in Hilchos Kriya Shema, that you should be wearing your tefillin when you're wearing Kriya Shema. The Rambam brings this in Hilchos Tefillin. that a person should lay in Kriya Shema while he's wearing his tefillin to explain kind of why he's wearing his tefillin. That I'm wearing my tefillin because I'm a Kabbalah on myself, O Malchus Shemayim and Yichud Hashem. So the Rambam puts this not in the context, it's not here to enhance the Kriya Shema or to underscore or to animate the Kriya Shema. It's really here in order to enhance your mitzvah of tefillin, that it comes with an explanation, and the explanation is Kriya Shema. That's why they quote in the name of Salavechik that when a person put on, Tisha B'Av, when we don't wear tefillin in the morning, we only put on tefillin by Mincha. Salavechik quoted, I think, in the name of his grandfather, Reb Chaim, that he had the minig to lay in Kriya Shema over again when he put on the tefillin by Mincha. Because according to the Rambam, the reason why we wear tefillin by Shacharis is not to enhance the Kriya Shema, it's to enhance the tefillin when you lay in Kriya Shema with the tefillin on. So if we didn't put on tefillin for Shacharis on Tisha B'Av, when we're only going to put on by Mincha, we should at least lay in Kriya Shema together with the tefillin. Even though we're not fulfilling Kriya Shema then, perhaps doing Kriya Shema together with tefillin is not a kiyum in Kriya Shema. It's not there to enhance the Kriya Shema, but it's there really to enhance the tefillin. But either way, since there is this relationship between Kriya Shema and tefillin, we understand another reason why we choose, if we're going to pick one time during the day to wear tefillin, we're going to choose to do it dafka during Shacharis. Okay, that's the bare minimum. But is that really the definition of the mitzvah of tefillin once a day, every day? Or is the mitzvah of tefillin really all day? Just because of the concern of Gufnaki, so we limited it to once a day in the morning. So that's a shayla the Bir Halacha raises over here, Oistes, from the Prima Gadol. I have a Prima Gadol from Mistapik. Imin HaTorah Chayv Kol HaYoyim is really the midst of tefillin the entire day. Omin HaTorah Dai B'Rega Echad. It's enough if you put it on once, Shemeniach, Midrabana Kol HaYoyim. And the Midrabana, the rest of the day is only Midrabana, and nowadays we don't do it because of a Gufnaki. So it's the mitzvah really all day, or is it once a day? And the Prima Gadol sides with the fact that it's once a day. That's the mitzvah, once a day, every day. And we find other parallels to that, or other examples of this. When the Torah gives us a mitzvah and doesn't define its time frame, so the general assumption is, or we find, let's say, in other instances we find, that it's interpreted to be that it's a mitzvah that's once a day, every day. For example, the mitzvah of tefillah. The Pasuk says in Parshas Eikav, "Avda b'chol levavchem." You should serve a Kaddish Baruch Hu with your entire heart. And the Rambam understands, and the Gemara comments in Masechtas Tainis, "Ezui avodah shebelev." How do we serve Hashem with our heart? Zut tefillah, that refers to davening. And the Rambam's opinion is, and say for our mitzvahs, disagreement with the Ramban, that davening is a mitzvah midoraisa. However, the Rambam says it's only a mitzvah to daven midoraisa once a day, every day, because the Torah here doesn't define a time frame for this mitzvah. And whenever the Torah doesn't define a time frame, let's say the default position should be once a day, every day. Or another example of this is Birchas Kohanim. It says in Parshas Nosoi, Kaisav Archos B'nai Yisrael. You should bless Kal Yisrael, but it doesn't say when to do it. So Taisus writes in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah that the mitzvah is once a day, every day. Midrabanan, they told us on a Tainis to do it by Mincha, to do it by Ne'ilah, however, to do it by Musaf. However, Midai Raisa, the mitzvah really is only once a day, every day. That's what Taisus says in Masechtas Rosh Hashanah. So whenever the Torah doesn't define a time frame, the assumption is that it's once a day, every day, and that's the assumption over here by Tefillin too. However, the Bir Halacha then quotes from the Yeshua Tzionkiv, that Pasek, the Minotar Mitzvah, and Kol HaYoyim, no, the Midday Raisa, the mitzvah is the entire day. The mitzvah is not once a day, every day, the mitzvah is really the entire day. That's how the Yeshua Tzionkiv interpreted this, this mitzvah is not once a day, every day, but it's really the entire day. So therefore, it makes sense, let's say, so why don't we do it the entire day? Because we can't maintain a gufnaki. So that's why it makes sense, at least according to the Yeshua Yaakov, they say over a story from the Brisker Rav, that once the Brisker Rav had a cholim eyayim, he had a stomach ailment, and he wasn't able to wear tefillin for a few days. So when he came back, he got better, and was able to wear tefillin again. He wore tefillin for, let's say he missed 3 days, he wore tefillin for three times as long on the fourth day when he came back, or four times as long. Why? To make up for the three previous days that he missed. So that only makes sense if the mitzvah of tefillin is not once a day, every day, like a daily requirement. It's it's a mitzvah all day, and therefore a person fulfills it, not by being yotzezayin, by putting it on once a day, but every hour that you wear, you're fulfilling another mitzvah. So therefore, he felt maybe I could make up for it on subsequent days if I missed previous days. If the mitzvah though was once a day, every day, it really doesn't kind of make sense to do that. It's really a daily requirement. You wouldn't be, making up for the previous. It would be nice to wear it, for the rest of the day, but you wouldn't be making up for the previous days by doing so. Okay, but either way, whichever side of this debate you side on, either the mitzvah is once a day, every day, or the entire day. But we limited it, as the Shulchan Aruch told us, because it's difficult to maintain a gufnaki. But v'ayim v'sefer el yirabba, im yodeh sheyuchol lizar. What about a person who knows that he can be careful? What if a person can maintain a guf naki? He knows about himself, he can, and he can not engage in schaik v'kalas roish. Can he volunteer to put on tefillin for longer? So he says that he can. V'ayim v'maisa rav. And the quotes over there in the Bi'ur Halacha from the Gra and the Sefer Maaseh Rav, which records the Gra's practices. Dim chayshish shel you, Rav, b'fnei abriyas, if you're afraid that it's going to seem arrogant or haughty, because most people are not doing this. Motu b'shal yad levad. So let him wear just the tefillin shal yad. So the opinion of the Eliyahu Rabba and that of the Vilna Gaon was that if a person wants to volunteer to put on tefillin the rest of the day, if he knows that he'll maintain a guftaki, and who knows that he won't engage in schoik v'kalas, right? The Vilna Gaon wasn't engaging in schoik v'kalas rosh, at least we can imagine that he was. So therefore, these kinds of individuals have the right, great tzaddikim, have the right to volunteer to put on tefillin the rest of the day. And if you're afraid that people are going to speak about you, that you're doing something no one else is doing, afraid of you are out, then only wear the shoyad. However, that was the opinion of the Gaon. And therefore, the Talmidim of the Gaon advocated this kind of position that a person should volunteer if he can, maintain a gufnaki, not engaging in schaik v'kalas roish. Should volunteer to put on tefillin even beyond just the one time in the morning during tefillah shachris. However, they quoted the name of the Rabbi Yaakovish that he disagreed. You should not try and volunteer to put on tefillin. Maybe because tefillin is only once a day every day, but I don't think that was his argument. His argument was because maybe hesach hadas doesn't just mean refraining from schaik v'kalas roish. What hesach hadas means is that a person should always be concentrating on the tefillin. That was the machlekes of Rishonim we had between Rabbeinu Yon and the Ramban 2 days in Tosis and Masechtas Yuma. And it seemed like different implications we got from the Shulchan Aruch. What does Hesach Hadas mean? Does Hesach Hadas mean just you shouldn't engage in Schaik B'Kalas Roish? Or does it mean a person should constantly be concentrating on the tefillin while he's wearing them? Or at least not engage in any other activity that demonstrates that he's not concentrating on the tefillin? And that's a very high standard to meet. So that's why the Ari HaKadosh lobby that a person should not attempt to volunteer to put on tefillin throughout the rest of the day, because maybe Hesach Hadas doesn't just require us not to engage in Schaik B'Kalas Roish, but to actively concentrate on the tefillin. That's certainly something that's much harder. And Rav Moshe argues that specifically, at least in places where the minig is not to volunteer to put on tefillin throughout the rest of the day, that a person should not do so. It would indeed not be mechzi kiyura, as the Gemara once says, you know, in connection with the person who volunteers to mourn the loss of the Beis Hamikdash more than everyone else, or it seems like, you know, more incongruous with the rest of the way that he conducts his life. All of a sudden, here he is wearing black and mourning the Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara says it's mechzi kiyura, it looks like arrogance. So over here, the Bali Musar say, the Moshe David Vali has such a line, and Vobi has such a line in the Alei Shor, that it's not mechzi kiyura, it's not that it looks haughty, it is haughty, it's yura mamish. To do such a thing would, in fact, be the definition of haughtiness itself. For a person to be more machmir on something that is not meikar adin, more machmir than the rest of his community, than his shul rav, all of these things seem to be incongruous with the way that he leads his life, and therefore would be haughty and arrogant. If a person comes to a place where they don't do this, he shouldn't do it himself. So they once showed, it says in the Mesoras Moshe, that's kind of like halachic biography of Rav Moshe. It's now 3 volumes long, I think. So it says there that once one of the Tendlers, I think, who put it together, showed Rav Moshe was davening in a shul in Borough Park, and he showed him the Sefer Keser Reish, which has the Hanhoges of the Vilna Gaon that was written down by Rav Chaim Volozhiner. And it says there that the Vilna Gaon instructed everyone to wear tefillin, you know, the rest of the day, or at least for Tfilas Mincha. At least during Mincha, when a person is, you know, is a higher level of concentration than the rest of the day, he should attempt to volunteer to put on the mitzvah, you know, to volunteer to put on tefillin. And you shouldn't be afraid for you, Ara, because what you're doing is correct, and there's no arrogance and haughtiness when a person is doing what's correct. Rav Moshe said that he didn't believe that that comment was a genuine comment in the name of the Vilna Gaon. Rav Moshe thought that it must have been a misquotation. It can't possibly be correct. So you have these two different practices in places where the Vilna Gaon's been hugging a little bit more common. So you have sometimes great tzaddikim volunteering to put on tefillin at other times during the day, and not doing more than what it says over here in Shulchan Aruch, to only do it by shachris, because it's difficult to maintain a gufnaki. They feel they are able to maintain a gufnaki, and maybe Hesach Hadas only requires you shouldn't engage in schaik v'kalas roish. And others who are more hesitant to volunteer, maybe because Hesach Hadas means you have to concentrate on it constantly, which is a much higher standard to maintain, or maybe because since it's more than what's required, right? Maybe the mitzvah of tefillin is only once a day, every day, not to wear it the entire day. You're doing something which is really only a chumrah, where you might violate an iser in the course of doing that chumrah. You might not keep a gufnaki. You might be meisiach das, And therefore, they argued Adarabba would in fact be Yuara for a person to volunteer to do it. So if a place lives, a person lives in a community where there is something that's common, you know, maybe then it's acceptable. In our communities in Chutz Laaretz, this is certainly something that is not common. A person should be careful always that his activities are in line with the, you know, are consistent with the rest of the way that he leads his life. You know, the Pasuk says in Parashas Emor that one of the mumim of an animal that disqualifies it for being brought as a carbon is if it's a sarua, which Rashi says means that one of the limbs is greater than the other limb. So you see, even Rav Nissen Alpert explained in his Hesped for Rav Moshe, that was later printed in the journal Amat Torah, he said, you see from here that that even though there's nothing wrong with this limb per se, the fact that it's not consistent, the fact that it's not the same size as the rest of the limbs, it's a mum. Because in life, in Avodah Zarah 2, a person always has to try and be consistent with the rest of the way that he leads his life. So if a person is not going to be that kind of Jew, then in everywhere in his life, you know, he's being machmer on things that are not required. So then the fact that he puts on tefillin during the day, we'll see, will indeed be perhaps you are a mamish. If it fits in with the way that a person leads his life in general, so then, you know, then it depends on a person's community. If he lives in a community where they follow the minhagim of the Gra, and there are those who volunteer to do it, maybe it's appropriate. Certainly in our communities, this is something that would be inappropriate. No one here is doing this. So to do it, it would be a statement of Yuara. And in fact, it seems that volunteering to do tefillin in general is something that's frowned upon for this very reason. It's difficult to maintain, you know, concentration on this tefillin, and maybe that's what's required, not just not to have slightly kalas reish, and certainly to maintain a gufnaki. And just two examples of it, I don't want to dwell on it because that's going to be the topic for tomorrow, but of course a katan, right? Normally we're mechanek katanim to do mitzvahs. When it comes to the mitzvah of tefillin, we're not mechanek the katanim to do tefillin, even though it says in the Gemara Masechtas Erchin, once the katan is yodea lishmar tefillav, he should put on tefillin. And we saw the Shulchan Aruch said, a katan, hayodea lishmar tefillav, we should let him put on tefillin, even though he's not bar mitzvah. However, the Ramah quotes from the Baal Yitor, who said, nah, that the only time a katan puts on tefillin is when he's a young adult, but not when he's actually a minor. So he says, Yesh Aimrim, says the Ramah, the Hadda katan, over here, Aishkes on the sheet, the Hadda katan, davkeshu ben yud gimel shana v'yamechad. He should only begin to put on tefillin when he's actually a bar mitzvah. We don't allow him to volunteer to put on tefillin before he's bar mitzvah because of the fear that he's not going to be able to maintain a gufnaki or he'll be mesiach das from the tefillin. There are some who have the practice, of course, of putting on tefillin 30 days before he comes bar mitzvah, because in order, whenever we encounter a new mitzvah, we like to prepare for it for 30 days, like Pesach, Shoshim Yom, Kodem HaChag, you know, Darshim V'Shogim V'Darshim V'Hilchas, you know, HaPesach. We already begin to prepare for Pesach 30 days out. We blow Shofar 30 days before Rosh Hashanah, so maybe we should begin putting on tefillin 30 days before the Katan, you know, is going to become Chayiv. But certainly, you know, prior to that, and even that, Hasidim don't do that. Those of Davnus of Sfar, they typically don't put on tefillin before the day of the bar mitzvah itself. But even, you know, those who do 30 days to put it on beforehand is not something that's generally accepted. Or even, you know, women, we mentioned already, women are putter from tefillin. And the Gemara says, Masechtas Eruvin, over here, Ois Tezvav, that Micha Bashoa volunteered to put on tefillin, but Michu Bachachamin, the Chachamin did not protest against her. Taisvah is quoted from the Psikta, Rabasi, that they did protest against her. No, Michuba Chachamim. Why? Because it's difficult to maintain a gufnaki. Why are you volunteering to put on tefillin when you might not maintain the proper sanctity that's required for a person you know, while he's wearing the tefillin? So unless a person is actually obligated to put on tefillin, you know, we don't volunteer to put on tefillin. Even the men who are obligated to put on tefillin minimize, really shrink the obligation to the, you know, to the shortest possible time, and that is only to wear it during Shachas. We typically don't volunteer to put it on throughout the rest of the day because of the high standard of maintaining gufnaki and not being mesiach das. And that's why the Ramah writes in Siman Lamed Chesed Gimel that women who want to volunteer to put on tefillin, ma'achem biyodam, we discourage them from doing it. And it's not only the women, the ketanim, we don't allow them to be put on tefillin at additional times, and even the men. We would discourage, you know, unless a person is a consistent adherent of the minhagim of the Gain, we would encourage him not to wear tefillin because it's a difficult standard to maintain a gufnaki and not to be mesiach das. But just, you know, one closing thought. Why is it that with regards to the tefillin, with regards to the tzitz, you know, we derive from the tzitz to regards to the tefillin, you have to, you know, you can't be mesiach das from the tefillin. We don't find such a mitzvah, you know, or such a standard by, you know, by lulav, by matzah, by other, even, you know, by tefillah. It would be nice if no one be mesiach das when they're davening, but why you know, by the tefillin in particular, we have this standard that a person shouldn't be mesiach das from the tefillin. I believe that it's because the Ari HaKadosh tells us that we have the two tefillin that we wear correspond, the shel rosh and the shel yad, correspond to the five senses that we have in the body. That's why we have four batim in the shel rosh and one bias in the shel yad. The four batim of the shel rosh correspond to the four senses that appear in the head. That's smell, sight, taste, and hearing. Those are the four senses, and we have the four batim in the shel rosh. And then on the hand, we have touch. So that's therefore, we only have one bias corresponding to these five senses. And the reason why the tefillin correspond to the five senses is obviously because we have to subjugate. We have to take all the five senses and use them to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam. But even more than that, the tefillin shel rosh represents our machshavos. The tefillin shel yad represents our actions, that which we do, you know, with our hand. That's why we do seven krichas with the ritzuas, seven windings around our arm with the ritzuas of the shel yad, corresponding to the seven names of the Eitz HaRa. The Gemara says in Masechta Sukkah, he has seven names because he has seven different tactics that he attempts to cause us to stumble and to sin. So in order to overcome those, we have seven krichas that we do around the shel yad, because this corresponds to our actions that we do. But the tefillin shel rosh is our machshavos, the tefillin shel yad is our actions. And perhaps what the requirement of Hesech Hadas is teaching us is that we have to bridge the gap between them, right? You're not allowed to be Mesiach Das. You're not allowed to, speak between putting on the Shal Yad and the Shal Rosh. The two have to be connected. And the reason why the two have to be connected, our Shal Rosh and our Shal Yad, not allowed to talk in between them, is because we want our Machshavos and our actions to be in line with one another. We shouldn't be doing things that don't make sense based on the principles, and the belief system that we have in our head. We should try and think before we act. And that's perhaps why we have a requirement of Hesech Hadas when it comes to tefillin, because we're supposed to concentrate on the tefillin, not just to kind of a mitzvah strichas kavana, but because the whole purpose of tefillin is that it should lead to an action, that our activity should be guided by the tefillin that we're wearing, that our shel rosh should make it all the way to our shel yad and should come out l'maisa. That's like the Rabbeinu Yonah told us. When a person is learning Kriya Shema, he should be wearing the tefillin. Because if you're just speaking about it in your head and it doesn't come to an action, there's something missing in the mitzvah of tefillin. It's not enough just to talk about it. It has to be put into action. You're not supposed to engage in an activity that demonstrates that you're not concentrating on the tefillin. Why is it focused, right, that shall we have from the Or Sameach? Why is, that's why sleeping is not a problem of Hesek Hadas. Why are we limiting Hesek Hadas to an activity that demonstrates I'm not thinking about the tefillin? Why are we so activity focused? Because the whole purpose of Hesek Hadas is to teach us that the tefillin is not supposed to be something that's, in a box in our head. We should take it out of the box and allow it to seep into our brain and then ultimately down to our arm, into our actions, in the way that we conduct ourselves, on a daily basis. The Gemara comes to Masechtas Megillah on the Pasuk in Parashas Kisavoy. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz kishem Hashem nekra alecha v'yar'u mimecha. That this is referring to the tefillin sheberosh. Eilu tefillin sheberosh. So Vilna Gaon is medayik from the language of the Gemara, Eilu tefillin sheberosh. These are the tefillin that are in our heads. It doesn't say Eilu tefillin sha'ala rosh, that are on our head. It's in our head. Because the Vilna Gaon said the purpose of tefillin is not just to wear it on your head, is that it should define everything that we think, right? All of our beliefs, but really also ultimately translate into actions. And that's why you're not supposed to be Mesiach Das from the tefillin, because we're supposed to think before we act, to concentrate on the tefillin as we go throughout our day, and make sure that that really defines all that we do throughout the day. Okay, Yashikayach.
Go ahead.